has said so often, scratching where they didn't itch and laughing when they were not tickled. But that day is all over. We mean business now, and we are determined to gain our rightful place in God's world. And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaged in any negative protest and in any negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying, that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, we don't have to live like we are forced to live. Now, what does all of this mean in this great period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., April 3, 1968, the night before he was assassinated. We'll come back to the speech in Memphis, Tennessee, in a minute.
But he had seen the mountaintop. And he knew he could not stop. Always living with a dread of death ahead. Folks, you'd better stop and think. Everybody knows we're on the brink. What will happen now that the king dead? Please face. We can all shed tears, but it won't change a thing. Teach your people, will they ever learn? Must you always kill with
Nina Simone singing Why the King of Love is Dead. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we continue with Dr. Martin Luther King's speech the night before he was assassinated, it was April 3, 1968, a rainy night in Memphis, Tennessee.
We aren't going to let any mace stop us. We are masters in our nonviolent movement in disarming police forces. They don't know what to do. I've seen them so often. I remember in Birmingham, Alabama, when we were in that majestic struggle there, we would move out of the 16th Street Baptist Church day after day. By the hundreds, we would move out, and Bull Connor would tell them to send the dogs for us. And they did come, but we just went before the dogs singing, "Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around." But Bull Connor next would say, turn the fire hoses on. And as I said to you the other night, Bull Connor didn't know history. He knew a kind of physics that somehow didn't relate to the transphysics that we knew about. And that was the fact that there was a certain kind of fire that no water could put out. And we went before the fire hoses. We had known water. If we were Baptists or some other denomination, we had been immersed. If we were Methodists and some others, we had been sprinkled. But we knew water. That couldn't stop us. And we just went on before the dogs, and we would look at them, and we'd go on before the water hoses, and we would look at it, and we'd just go on singing, over my head, I see freedom in the air. And then we would be thrown into paddy wagons, and sometimes we were stacked in there like sardines in a can. And they would throw us in, and old Bull would say, take them off. And they did, and we would just go on in the paddy wagon singing, we shall overcome. And every now and then we'd get in jail, and we'd see the jailers looking through the windows, being moved by our prayer and being moved by our words and our song. And there was a power there which Bull Connor couldn't adjust to. And so we ended up transforming Bull into a steer, and we won our struggle in Birmingham. Now let me say, as I move to my conclusion, that we've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. Nothing would be more tragic than to stop at this point in Memphis. We've got to see it through. When we have our march, you need to be there. If it means leaving work, if it means leaving school, be there. Be concerned about your brother. You may not be on strike, but either we go up together or we go down together. Let us develop a kind of dangerous unselfishness. One day a man came to Jesus, and he wanted to raise some questions about some vital matters of life. At points, he wanted to trick Jesus and show him that he knew a little more than Jesus knew and throw him off base. Now, that question could have easily ended up in a philosophical and theological debate. But Jesus immediately pulled that question from midair and placed it on a dangerous curve between Jerusalem and Jericho. He talked about a certain man who fell among thieves. You remember that a Levite and a priest passed by on the other side. They didn't stop to help him. And finally, a man of another race came by. He got down from his beast, decided not to be compassionate by proxy, but he got down with him, administered first aid, and helped the man in need. Jesus ended up saying this was the good man, this was the great man, because he had the capacity to project the eye into the thou and to be concerned about his brother. Now, you know, we use our imagination a great deal to try to determine why the priest and the Levite didn't stop. The times we say they were busy going to a church meeting, an ecclesiastical gathering, and they had to get on down to Jerusalem so they wouldn't be late for their meeting. At other times, we would speculate that there was a religious law that one who was engaged in religious ceremonials was not to touch a human body 24 hours before the ceremony. And every now and then we begin to wonder whether maybe they were not going down to Jerusalem, down to Jericho rather, to organize a Jericho Road Improvement Association. That's a possibility. Maybe they felt that it was better to deal with the problem from the causal root rather than to get bogged down with an individual effect. But I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me. It's possible that those men were afraid. You see, the Jericho Road is a dangerous road.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember when Mrs. King and I were first in Jerusalem. We rented a car and drove from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And as soon as we got on that road, I said to my wife, I can see why Jesus used this as the setting for his parable. It's a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive for ambushing. You start out in Jerusalem, which is about 1,200 miles, or rather 1,200 feet above sea level. And by the time you get down to Jericho, 15 or 20 minutes later, you're about 2,200 feet below sea level. That's a dangerous road. In the days of Jesus, it came to be known as the Bloody Pass. And you know it's possible that the priest and the Levite looked over that man on the ground and wondered if the robbers were still around. Or it's possible that they felt that the man on the ground was merely faking. And he was acting like he had been robbed and hurt in order to seize them over there, lure them there for quick and easy seizure. And so the first question that the priest asked, the first question that the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But then the Good Samaritan came by, and he reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? That's the question before you tonight. Not if I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to my job? Not if I stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to all of the hours that I usually spend in my office every day and every week as a pastor? The question is not, if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? The question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's the question. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written. And while sitting there autographing books, a demented black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was, are you Martin Luther King? And I was looking down writing, and I said, yes. The next minute, I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon. That blade had gone through, and the x-rays revealed that the tip of the blade was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery. And once that's punctured, you're drowned in your own blood. That's the end of you. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in the wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in, and from all over the states and the world, kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I will never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams said. I'd received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. Yes. But there was another letter. It came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains High School. And I looked at that letter, and I'll never forget it. It said simply, "Dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School." She said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. And I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, that I too am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960, when students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream, and taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962, when Negroes in all Bennett, Georgia decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. Black people of Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation and brought into being the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama, to see the great movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze. And they were telling me, now it doesn't matter now. It really doesn't matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as we got started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, "We are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure that all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully. And we've had the plane protected and guarded all night." And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Dr. Martin Luther King speaking April 3, 1968. Within 24 hours, he would be dead, assassinated on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, April 4, 1968. Today is the federal holiday that honors him. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Libby Rainey, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Tamari Astudio, Adriano Contreras, and Maria Terracena. Mike DeFilippo and Miguel Nogueira are our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Miriam Barnard, Hugh Grand, David Prude, Vesta Godarz, and Carl Marxer. And to our camera crew, John Randolph, Karen Krug-Meadows, Anna Osbeck, and Matt Ely. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Right after the announcements, it'll be time for an hour of bluegrass on The Black Diamond Show right here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Did you know that Lyme disease is the most prevalent tick-borne illness, with about 220,000 new cases occurring each year? Believe it or not, you can test negative for Lyme and still be infected. Many victims of Lyme report never seeing a bullseye rash, and it can be very difficult to diagnose because it mimics other illnesses, such as multiple sclerosis, ALS, and Alzheimer's. To learn more, go to www.LymeDiseaseAssociation.org.
Attic Records joins you in supporting WRCT. Attic Records, located in Millvale, is open 7 days a week, providing new and used records and CDs. From metal to reggae, hip-hop to doo-wop, and all stops in between, Attic Records has the hottest new releases and all the older music you want. Family-owned and operated, Attic Records pays for quality used records and CDs with no collection too big or too small. You can visit Attic Records today or call them at 412-821-8484 and get the music you need. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, please email pr@wrct.org for more info about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Tune in to the Saturday Light Brigade, where host Larry Berger brings you acoustic music, puzzles, interviews, and live performances weekly on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on WRCT Pittsburgh. Do you remember what Top 40 radio sounded like in the 1970s? We don't, but Jay Thurber might. Say okay, Gen Xer, and tune in to Radio 9 from 12 to 3 p.m. Saturdays for your mix of oldies, newies, and snark here on Independent Freeform Radio, 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to The Black Diamond Show, an hour of bluegrass music. I am Mander Richard, and I know you're going to enjoy what I've picked out for you. Let's just get things started right away, shall we? Here comes Bill and Charlie, the Monroe Brothers, from back in 1936. Thanks for tuning in. While you listen to Chris Jones and the Night Drivers play this fun instrumental, Bow Ties Are Cool, from their 2015 record Runaway Tonight, let me tell you about our opening set of music on the Black Diamond Show. Back at the beginning of the set, you heard from Bill and Charlie, the Monroe Brothers, doing 9-Pound Hammer Is Too Heavy, one of those records that was recorded back in 1936 for the Bluebird label, an RCA affiliate. Then I played Boone Creek. Remember them from back in 1977? All those guys on that album cover looked mighty young, didn't they? Ain't Nobody Gonna Miss Me, from Boone Creek's 1977 Rounder record. Then we went back to the early 1960s for the King Brothers, doing Kiss Me Once More. And that was a single that came out on Rebel, and I played it from a 1965 compilation that Rebel put out called 70 Song Original Bluegrass Collection. You know, looking back through my computer files, you know what the very first song I added to iTunes was? You're going to hear it now. It's from Alison Krauss and Union Station, The Lucky One.
Everything's gonna be alright, 'cause you're the lucky one. You're the lucky one, always having fun. A jack of all trades, a master of none. You look at the world with a smiling eye and laugh. The devil as his train rolls by, give you a song in a one-night stand. You'll be looking at a happy man, 'cause you're the lucky one. Song in a one-night stand, and you'll be looking at a happy man, 'cause you're the lucky one. You'll be looking at a happy man, 'cause you're the lucky one.
that policeman run. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them deep heaven blues. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them deep heaven blues. When you go down empty, bound to put your money in your pants, for good-looking women won't give a man a chance. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them deep heaven blues. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them deep heaven blues. When you go down in deep, I'll put your money in your socks. Oh, deep island women, they will throw you on the rocks. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them deep island blues. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them deep island deep island blues. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them deep island blues. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them deep island blues.
If I say goodnight, I've got a promise to fulfill. Thank you for listening to my trouble. Pardon me, I've got someone. I warned him not to try and take her from me. He laughed and said, if I can, you know I will. So tonight when they get home, I'll be waiting. Pardon. I know I'll surely die for what I'm about to do, but it don't matter, I'm a dead man anyhow. This gun will buy back the pride they took from me. And also in this life of mine that's worthless now. By the time you tell the sheriff, it'll all be over. They'll find me at their big house on the hill. They'll find a note explaining why I killed us all. Now it's time to go. I've got someone to kill. Now it's time to go. I've got someone to kill.
Kristen Scott Benson is one of my favorite people in bluegrass music, and you're listening to her play Sandy River Bell. Yes, she's the banjo player with the Grascals. And this is from her 2009 record, Second Season. And that's the musical bed you'll listen to while I tell you about that last set of music. Back at the beginning of the set, I played you the very first song I ever added to iTunes. Alison Krauss and Union Station's The Lucky One from her 2001 record, New Favorite. Then we went back to 1964. Red Allen, Frank Wakefield, and the Kentuckians doing Deep Ellum Blues. That's from an album they put out on Folkways just called Bluegrass. Again, back in 1964. Then the last thing in the set was from one of the wild mandolin players out there, Travers Chandler and his band Avery County. Travers Chandler and Avery County. Pardon me, I've Got Someone to Kill. Wow, that's from his 2012 record, Pardon Me. Start the next set off with Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, and all the Foggy Mountain Boys.
Your heart was cold, you never loved me, though you often said you cared. But now you're going to find another, someone who knows the love I share. The rain is cold and slowly falling upon my windowpane tonight. And though your love was even colder, I wonder where you are tonight. Tried to smile with all my might, but you could see the pain within me that lingers in my heart tonight. The rain is cold and slowly falling upon my windowpane tonight, and though your love is even colder, I wonder where you are tonight.
For every broken heart, for every life you've ruined, 'cause you think you're so smart. I never even had a chance, and now my life is lost. Once more you've had your fun, and you don't care how much it costs.
Oh, chalk up another one, another broken heart. Chalk up another one, a heart you tore apart. You picked me for a fool, my dear, how well I played the part. Chalk up another one, another broken heart.
Broken vows and shattered dreams means little dear to you. Cause once you said you loved me and now you say we're through. Well, all is fair in love and war, I guess you taught me so. For in this crazy game of love you hit an all-time low.
Oh, chalk up another one, another broken heart. Chalk up another one, a heart you tore apart. You picked me for a fool, my dear, how well I played the part. Chalk up another one, another broken heart.
I have only pity in this evil life you've chewed. This unfair game you play in where everyone must lose. But let me tell you something, someday you won't forget. Add me to your collection and you'll wish we'd never met.
Oh, chalk up another one, another broken heart. Chalk up another one, a heart you tore apart. You picked me for a fool, my dear, how well I played the part. Chalk up another one, another broken heart.
Friends, this is a true story that happened in the hills of western North Carolina in the year 1928. This tragedy occurred near the little town of Danbury in Stokes County in the state of North Carolina. It's absolutely true. This man murdered his family, his wife, and himself. His name was Charlie Lawson, and this song is entitled The Story of the Lawson Family.
It was on last Christmas evening, the snow was on. Home in North Carolina, the murderer he was found. His name was Charlie Lawson, and he had a loving wife, but they never knew what caused him. Say he killed his wife at first while a little one did cry. Please, Papa, won't you spare our lives, for it is so hard to die. Thank you.
they did not carry him to jail. No lawyers would be paid. They'll have his trial in another land on a final judgment day.
While you listen to Kenny Baker lead an all-star band in Lost Indian from Kenny's old LP Master Fiddler, let me tell you about that last set of music, all classic tracks. Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, and all the Foggy Mountain Boys gave us I Wonder Where You Are Tonight from their 1961 concert in Carnegie Hall. The album came out in 1962. That's how we began the set. Then we went back to 1956 for Jimmy Martin and the Osborne Brothers doing Chalk Up Another One. Another Broken Heart. Yeah, great, great song. And then the last thing was from the Stanley Brothers, and Carter told you all about it. The Story of the Lawson Family. That was from an album that's come out called An Evening Long, Long Ago, Live 1956, in which the Stanley Brothers and their band stopped by WCYB in Bristol and after a gig, so it was a late night session, that's for sure, and they recorded a bunch of music, and that's what you hear on that record, An Evening Long Ago, live in 1956 from the Stanley Brothers. Next up, here comes Bill Harrell singing a heartbreaker.
Dark stormy night, as the train rattled on, all the passengers had gone to bed, except one young man with a babe in his arms, as he sat with a bowed down head. The innocent one began crying, as though its poor heart would break. Make that child stop its noise, an angry man said, for it's keeping all of us awake. Take it out, said another, don't leave it in here. We paid for our births and won't rest. Never a word, said the man with the child, as he fondled it close to his breast. Where is its mother? Let's take it to her. A young maiden then softly said, I wish that I could, said the man with the child, but she's dead in the coach ahead. As the train rolled onward, a husband sat in tears, thinking of the happiness of just a few short years. Baby's face brings pictures of a cherished hope that's dead, but baby's cries can't wake its mom in the baggage coach ahead.
The moon when the stars come out, wearing old guitar and a front porch swing, keep rhythm as the crickets sing, and we get loud in our backyard. Living large in a little bitty town. Well, there ain't no fancy restaurants here, but you'll never find a better meal than the biscuits from my kitchenware. The beef and the butter's real. We all shine, have the biggest time when a neighbor helps a neighbor out. Everybody waves when they drive by. Living large in a little town. Living large in a little town. Well, the preacher and good Lord still draw the crowd. You can hear the choir sing. Sunday morning church bells ring for miles around. From farm to farm. Howl at the moon when the stars come out. Wear an old guitar and a front porch swing. Keep rhythm as the crickets sing, and we get loud in our backyard. Living large in a little bitty town. Living large in a little bitty town.
This peppy instrumental that you're listening to comes from Balsam Range. It's called You Light It, You Fight It. It's from their 2014 release called Five. And that's what you'll listen to while I tell you about that last set of music and set up our last set for you. Back at the beginning of the previous set of music, you heard Bill Harrell singing Baggage Coach Ahead. Yeah, he can't get the baby.
Hello, you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. And this is Record Roulette, where we just play vinyl on the air. I'm going to start this one up. Or not. We will figure that out later. But I'm going to read some stuff for you. Okay. On March 21st, 2022, Eric Knoll, licensee of WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, filed an application with the Federal Communications Commission for renewal of its license. Members of the public wishing to view this application or obtain information about how to file comments and petitions on the application can visit publicfiles.fcc.gov and search in WRCT Pittsburgh's public file. We're listening to some Eddie Jefferson.
I love you so much I can't do without you. I lay down at night and dream all about you. Your beautiful eyes and all of your lovely ways driving me crazy. I can't eat, sleep, work, I just can't do nothing but dream about you morning, afternoon, and night. Darling,
won't you say that you will always be mine? I guarantee you everything will turn out just fine. Just hurry and tell me something before I go out my mind. To say my plea is not in vain, I'm not blind. I'll do the things you always wanted me to. Success is round the corner and it's pointing at you. Don't make a mistake and tell me, baby, we're through. One day for one another, I belong to you. We will be so happy just you and I together with our love, dear. No one else will ever share the thing we treasure. Yes, my soul belongs to you and I will always be yours. Let me kiss your sweet lips and then your fingertips. Hey, pretty baby, I'm pleading to you. Wouldn't fool you, you're the one I want to die with. You're beautiful, you're wonderful one. The hubbard's empty cupboard couldn't be no better than my heart would be if you told me you couldn't ever care. My life would stop right there. I know that it would. I'd never be no more good. Hey, pretty mama. Hey, don't you wanna take a plane and fly away, away with me and find the happiness I know is waiting for us somewhere? Last night you telephoned it. Rang, 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 and rang. And you weren't even home. I was so blue and all alone. I wanted to talk with you. That's all I wanted to do, dear. It just made me feel so happy whenever I heard your voice. Let me hear you say that you're in love with me now.